Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening, you are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch. There's no girl here, though. But you can see us on Twitch. You can call us at 617-779-0985. In fact, Mike's been on hold for a long time. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey,
so you were talking about Zolak's kind of lower energy call this Sunday because he had done Pee-wee football with his son. That call that he made for the touchdown run out of Damian Harris, the Herculean effort. As soon as I heard that call, that sounded to me like that young reporter doing the call on the Panthers and Ron Rivera a few years ago, having the time of his life.
Sergio Dipp.
Like that.
Yeah. He was on the field yesterday after the Monday Night Football game, and him and Rodgers did a thing.
No. That's a different guy.
Oh, that's a different
guy. That's the one from ESPN Deportes who was the, what was his catchphrase? He had one. He's got a different name. Sergio Dipp is the one who had the.
That was Vance Joseph.
Having the time of his life.
That's right. Yeah, that's Sergio Dipp. No, the guy, he had a phrase that he used to say over and over, the guy from ESPN Deportes, with like the gray hair. I forget what his name
is. Okay, so, but his thing wasn't that he effed up. It was just like he has like a phrase.
Yeah.
Okay, but because the guy that we're playing is the F up that they never let do anything again, right?
Yeah, because remember that guy after he had he was on the air,
a big sad sack thing about like. Oh.
I think this might be what you're taught here. Here's the Sergio Dip one that he was on TV. This was like I think his first big shot on ESPN, and here's what happened.
Through the end zone and out to the 25-yard line for the Chargers, and here's Sergio Dip.
Beth, Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life this night making his head coaching debut.
Well, he's got to like the early lead.
And then he was gone.
Back to you, guys.
And then he disappeared from the broadcast.
But then, remember, he wrote, like, some big sad sack thing about how everyone
he apologized, like,
him.
A week later.
No. He apologized, but then he came back, like, kind of like this, like, really woe is me type nonsense
it,
with that.
It wasn't a letter. It was him in his hotel room.
Oh, in a hotel room. Yeah,
making
that's right.
a video about I just tried my best. And
Okay, did you? And then I think it was something like, you know, well, English isn't my first language. And then you would say, well, I'm not on the Spanish broadcast. Like, look, you're better than me. You're bilingual. It's great. But you aren't good enough at English to do an English broadcast.
Sutcliffe is the guy he's thinking of. John Sutcliffe is the one that that he was talking about.
But can you imagine like the thing like I might be mistaken, but I know at least some people were defending him by going like, well, English isn't his first language. And then you would say, well, then why is he doing the English broadcast? I mean, that requires you to talk.
Monday Night Football.
That's the guy. It was right, so Monday Night.
So that's just his corny thing that he does.
Yeah,
but I just, the guy came in and he's like, well, and then, you know, people are like, well, English isn't his first language. You're like, well, great. He's smarter than me. He's bilingual. That's wonderful. But I can't get on, you know, a Chinese broadcast. Like, I can't get on the Spanish broadcast. They can't say, well, Fred, you took Spanish one semester in college as a requirement. I mean, no, I can't do it. There's things I can't do.
Is Sergio Dip back into the universe? Like, I got it. Hopefully he found himself another
I am
thing.
Hoping he did not because of the woe is me hotel cam.
Apparently, according to his Twitter account, and by the way, the Twitter account is a picture of him with a goat head holding a microphone. Or is that a sheep head? I can't tell which. But
well, you better get on that.
Yeah, I know. He apparently, according to his bio, I talk about sports on ESPN and about life in my lectures. Apparently, he does TED Talks now.
All right. Well, good for him.
According to Sergio Dip.
And I would imagine he does them in Spanish. His broadcasting in Spanish.
Most of his tweets are in Spanish.
Which I'm sure he's very talented at. But, I mean, you can be good at one thing and not good at the other. I mean, if you get Kevin Harlan on a French broadcast, I'm sure it's not going to be the greatest thing in the world. You'll struggle through that. I just like how that's somehow, like, unfair. Like, no, dude, you're just not good enough at English. Like, sorry. Like, I was going to be in the NBA, well, but I can't jump high.
I think what made it such a disaster was that after it happened, he just disappeared. And that's what became the whole
thing. Well, yeah, he like, never was on again because they went, well, you can't put this guy on the air
right,
again.
Right, on Twitter, it was like, where's Sergio? I think that was trending. Hashtag, where's Sergio after that? And that made it even worse. Like, if I was ESPN, it was almost like, all right, we'll just have him come on. And then it would be, people would understand. But the fact that ESPN panicked and, like, pulled the guy off the broadcast.
Yeah, well, they might have done him a favor, Rich. Who knows where he would have gone after that? I mean, he wasn't in a good place. He was in a bad place. Well, just following up on Nick's bachelor party that we had and the old men in this room, we did not accompany them to the casino or to the strip club. And if you would have told me 3 years ago, Fred, there would be guys going to a strip club and in a bus and you wouldn't have had to drive or done nothing, and you wouldn't have gone, I would have said, I don't want to be that person. And yet here I am.
There we were. Because the younglings left.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right.
Sitting around a table wondering if it was going to rain or not.
Yeah, exactly.
So it could have been worse. At least you left. The three of us are like, hey, look, it looks like rain.
I was tuckered out. It was 10 o'clock at night. So anyway, so we were talking... And this is not an insult to anyone. It does not matter. It really doesn't. If it's over. It doesn't matter. But there is something that is fascinating that happened over dinner. And that was that everyone, it's a steakhouse that we went to and everyone ordered steak. And I'm not a thin man, but I got a 6 ounce filet Oscar.
I did the same style. Thing. Six ounce filet. Yeah,
but I didn't, and it was very good, but I didn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And before dinner, we had gotten this. It's funny, Rich. You tell the story about what the waitress asked. We said we wanted a seafood tower.
Sure. Yeah. And she said, "All right. Well, would you like a kind of a smaller portion or a larger portion?" And I said, have you seen who's sitting at this table?
Take a look on the far side of the table. Right, so it's concrete like, is lowered one direction.
The bankroll boys and all of us are like, I think you need me to bring the larger portion.
So we have this this large seafood tower.
Yep,
and
yep.
Then
appetizers.
And then some people got appetizers on top of that, and Lifshetz got bone marrow. But now, did Lifshetz order the bone marrow?
He did. But I think it was kind of when we were all yelling out appetizers, he said the bone marrow, which, by the way, apparently it's pretty good, but I don't know. I didn't see any of it.
Yeah, see, the bone marrow got past me, but I didn't see him
well,
eating.
It didn't get past, P-A-S-S-E-D.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I don't recall the bone marrow.
It didn't
six,
get past.
Six out of the 10 people who were there are right here. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you had any bone marrow on Saturday night. Okay, so none of us had it. So.
And I would have ate bone marrow because I like it.
I've never had it.
I think it got set in front of...
I would have liked to have tried it.
It's a lot. So, like, it's not a lot of food, but it's a very rich, like... Okay.
It's almost like a clear bacon, almost.
Like a soft bacon.
Yeah.
And it's very, very fatty.
But it's delicious.
It's a lot. It's like you're fine with a little bit.
Yeah.
So apparently Lifshetz killed this bone marrow on his own, which is fine again. But then what I did notice, which I could not have, I could not help but notice, is that there was almost an entire cow on Lifshetz's plate. And so I didn't really think anything of it. And then the bill came. No, but I didn't really think anything of it. But apparently, according to Rich, what Lifshetz got is traditionally a steak that's served for the table.
When you order a tomahawk steak, that is at least for two, usually for four people.
Okay.
If you take a look at, like, I'm looking at the menu here. They have
Nick pulled up the menu yesterday in the meeting. Rich and I did not.
Fred and I had a 6 ounce steak. All right, that's what we got. Which, by the way, is on the smaller size. Most people get like an 8 ounce steak. But the size of the tomahawks they had there, and I don't know which one was ordered. But the smallest one is 32 ounces, and the largest is 40. That's 40 ounces of steak.
See, I'm guessing 40. Because that was...
It was the biggest thing of beef I've seen. It's, you know how it is. It's like the giant bone, and on the end of it's like that. And
so I've never been to a steakhouse where someone got a tomahawk steak, but apparently, according to Rich, these are generally served. I would imagine the tomahawk steak is presented in the middle of the table.
Yes, and they chop it up for you, and they usually put it on your plate. It's not like it's made... It's a dish made for sharing.
And so, but Lifshetz had the bone marrow and then had somewhere between, how many ounces?
Somewhere between 32 and 40 ounces, whatever. I'm not quite sure which one he got, but that thing was just awesome. I mean,
four times as large as the steaks that we got. I also got the 6 ounce filet. So four times larger.
No, more than four times. Do the math, man. That's eight times. Oh. I'm sorry, seven?
It's seven times larger.
It's five or six at the smallest.
Okay.
Yeah.
The point still stands.
Yeah.
And so he apparently thought he was paying for, he says he thought he was paying for the meal.
Yeah. No problem with
this is interesting, too. It's not that we paid for it. It is interesting, though, that you would go out to eat and get $175 tomahawk, because it's that special kind of steak too. Like, what's that? What's the steak? What's the term for?
No, wait, are we talking about like
Nick? What's the term for the
wagyu?
Steak? Wagyu.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. It's a wagyu tomahawk. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it's $175 steak.
It's probably effing delicious. That's the one thing you'd say. But I mean,
yeah. But I don't care how good something is. I don't want over a pound of it. I did 16 ounces at a pound.
Oh, over a pound?
No, it's like, it's 3 pounds.
It's over 3 pounds. Oh. 3 pounds or over.
Man. That's 3 pounds of food, of steak. I don't care how good something is. 3 pounds of it? Haji machi.
God.
All right. Dan, go ahead.
Okay, so did he know that you guys are paying for it before he ordered that?
I don't know if he did. He said
no.
I don't think so. Yeah, yeah. He probably not.
Two things. First off, I've cooked tomahawks for my family, and like one big tomahawk feeds like 10 people. It's supposed to be eaten like an appetizer. You slice it up like it's a Christmas ham. Like, what are you doing, bud?
It's like ordering a Christmas ham. That's the best example ever yet. It's like ordering a Christmas ham for dinner.
Like at Thanksgiving, just picking up the turkey and putting it in front of you.
Yeah, like you find out a free meal is coming, and you order something you would never order.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he goes, listen, God bless him. If he goes to steakhouses or goes anywhere and orders food that's $175, good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a man who. Likes to appease his senses. I mean, that's a nice thing to do.
You eat what you eat. I'm just saying that I've never seen that before. And I don't know, is there anybody... I just always thought a tomahawk was something that was like multiple people ate. I've never, ever seen just one person crush a tomahawk before. And to be quite honest, it's something to behold.
But it's the two times that I recall that we've taken people outside of the show out to dinner... And the other time was Fleming's, where Washburn got the porterhouse. Mm-hmm. But at least the porterhouse is something that is for one person. Now, it's two cuts of steak. I mean, it's a strip in a filet. So, I mean, that's a big-ass steak.
But a porterhouse is something that you
that's
use,
on the yeah. menu. That but we were talking about, like, how many tomahawks do you think they serve a day there?
And I was thinking maybe, like, a dozen to 15.
I don't even know if that's there's that many people that would eat. I'm guessing 5. Like, it's a nice restaurant, so they I don't think they have like a million of them on deck. Like, I think that if people got 10 tomahawks, that's all the tomahawks they have. I mean, you're out of
tomahawks is a cow.
86 tomahawk. like okay, so if you're the man, let's put it this way. If you're the manager of the restaurant, And you have to, it's a nice restaurant, so I imagine they bring in food every day.
Mm-hmm.
So say the steaks are there, they allow them to be there for 2 days.
Yeah.
And you're ordering tomahawks. I'm erring on the side of less tomahawks on the account of they're real expensive and heavy. And the storage room that they take up is really something else. So, I mean, God bless him, but he's on the Atkins. It's good.
Well, I mean, definitely qualifies.
Yeah.
And he looks good. Like, that's nothing to do with that. I've never seen something like that. Was almost like a Kobayashi moment where you're just like, man, that is impressive.
Well, it's one of those things that you go, like, if something tastes good, like, why is that much of it better? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, wow, this is a good steak. Like, I'll have, like, 8 of them. Like, you know what I'm saying? But there you go. It's no problem. It's not an issue. It was just something that, as we looked into it, was interesting.
It's kind of like seeing Halley's Comet. It's one of those things where you're like, I remember that.
Yeah.
Do you think you could eat one if you had to?
No.
No. No. Never in a million years.
Not a chance.
Not in a million years.
I didn't finish my 6 ounce filet. You think I'm going to nail that? Forget it.
See, I think that if I had to, I could.
I
think that's one of those that if I had to do it, I could do it. But, I mean, I wouldn't feel good about myself.
But think of all the chewing and, like, all that. Yeah. I couldn't. There's no way I
could
do it.
That's a Joey Chestnut superpower, my friend.
That might be one of those things. Like, remember that McDonald's deal was going around? Who could finish this? And I was like, oh, I could do it. But then the reality of sitting down and doing it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, my dad could eat 3 of those things.
Well, you've talked about your dad.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a superhuman power of inhaling meat. That's made him very popular on the streets. But, no, he has a superpower, but there you go. All right. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, guys, first time, long time. I felt compelled to comment on this stuff. So I routinely eat tomahawk steaks when I go to a steakhouse. And in terms of the storage...
Are you the Monopoly guy? How much money? Jesus Christ.
When I do, though, that's what...
$300 worth of food. All right, go ahead. What?
But you got to remember, too, was it a bone-in ribeye?
Yeah, there was a bone-in.
Well, they knock, like, 7 ounces right off of the top of the... You know what I mean? Like, and then...
It's still a lot of meat.
Storage... I mean, they dry age them. If you went to a good steakhouse, they dry age them. So
Well, it depends on the steakhouse. It depends. You can go to a good steakhouse where they don't dry age. But yes, it does. It does depend. It does depend on the steakhouse. But let's be honest. I mean, the bone's not much of a factor in that thing. Well, I mean,
it's a tomahawk. It's huge. It's like a foot long.
Oh, I saw it.
And you regularly.
And then I saw
that.
It gone.
You regularly eat one of those by yourself.
Not like a daily basis.
Right, of course. You know,
but when I do go to a steakhouse, whenever those occasions are, I typically get a tomahawk steak to eat.
Well, now, do they ask you if you're sharing every time?
No, never. Never once have they asked me.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. You must be a man of great means, I'll tell you, because that ain't cheap.
No, it's not. I mean, it's usually, even at a lower-end steakhouse, you're talking like... $75-$80, you know what I mean? But I mean, $175, that's a lot. I probably wouldn't do that. But,
what are you gonna do?
I felt compelled.
Okay. There you go. Sticking up for Dan.
There you go. Have you ever ate anything that was $175? I probably have like once in my life.
No.
Maybe caviar. Never.
You mean one single item?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, because I think the closest I've gotten to it is splitting, like something like that.
Yeah, that doesn't count. A Kobe steak with someone.
Yeah. But then you knock off half the price.
Ooh, one menu? No, I can't even think of a menu item that I've ordered that was more than. I think I got a steak one time that was about $75.
See, I've had wine that was obviously expensive when I was being drunk and dumb and like got some. Bottle of wine or champagne or something to celebrate, but $175 on a certainly not on an entree. I think the highest entree I've ever probably $50.
I think I got a Wagyu steak one time with something on top of it, and that was about $70-something, and that's the most I've ever paid. And I don't think I've gotten close to that since then.
Yeah, I never eat at nice restaurants anymore. You're in the city, so you're eating at them all the time. I never eat at nice restaurants anymore. Never.
So it's at Braun Strowman of WWE fame. 6'8", 350, finishes tomahawks in the solo regularly. He's also a pro wrestler and former strongman competitor. Not for normal men or regular dinners. Yeah, so
it was impressive.
It was.
All right. Andrew Callahan covers the Patriots for the Herald. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, oh, yeah. And like, oh, yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down and two. Play fake by Wilson. Deep drop under pressure. Fires down the middle.
Come on.
By J.C. Jackson. And the ball is batted around and eventually intercepted. Picked off at the 35-yard line. Play fake and a bootleg wipe by Wilson. Throws on the go pass. Intercepted off the deflection. Diving pick by Adrian Phillips. Wilson drops back a lot of time. Throws to the right. Picked off by J.C. Jackson. An underthrow, and he's got his second interception of the day.
That's about as bad as the throw you can have.
For Wilson, dropping back, drifting left, throws a deep ball on the near side, intercepted. Devin McCourty waits on it, runs it back right across the 45-40. McCourty with a stutter step, 35.
Come on.
Angles left across the field, tripped up by Wilson. The rookie quarterback sprinting downfield to make the tackle, but Devin McCourty has the fourth interception of the day for the Patriots.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Andrew Callahan is the Patriots beat writer for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Andrew Callahan, hello.
Hello, good morning.
All right, so Rich found something that you had written, is that you have done some analysis of Bill Belichick's pregame quarterback talks, and you have found some commonalities, is that a correct term, commonalities, about things he says about quarterbacks he might not think are the greatest.
Yeah, theory being the key word here, you know, and it's difficult on Wednesdays, right? Bill is in full compliment mode. He's handing them out like candy to his opponents. They can do no wrong. But what I noticed over the years, dating back to 2018 when I first started covering the team, is, you know, he'll only go so far with certain players, right? Like, they're playing a rookie here, Zach Wilson making second start, and the peak of his praise was he can make all the throws. And that sounds great. But normally he goes on a lot longer for better players. So that phrase, when it's the peak of the praise, he can make all the throws, in my mind, says he doesn't think very highly of a quarterback.
Can you give us some examples of other quarterbacks? Because he obviously said that for Zach Wilson this past Wednesday. What are some other quarterbacks that he said that in the past about?
Yeah, so again, it's not just the phrase. He said that about Aaron Rodgers as well as Carson Wentz. But again, when it's the highest compliment he pays, is you can make all the throws. Because look, if you're in the NFL as a quarterback, you should be able to make all the throws, frankly. So, you know, there are guys like Dwayne Haskins he said this about. He said this about Sam Darnold last year. He said that about Jared Goff a couple weeks before Sam Darnold. So those, again, that's where he stops. That's when you know, okay, he doesn't have more things to say. Like decision-making and accuracy. When we talked to him about the draft, those are the top two traits. If he doesn't say anything about those, clearly he doesn't think as highly of the quarterback in my mind.
All right, so speaking of decision-making and accuracy, those are two things that Mac Jones has been excelling at. But this is not a good red zone team. This team has been struggling in the red zone. Do you think they're going to have to unleash him a little bit as this schedule gets a little bit more difficult, especially in the red zone? In fact, I think I read tight ends had only been targeted twice. Or I don't even know if that much, Andrew. And, you know, the whole thing about, especially not Hunter Henry, the other one,
John Smith
was, he was this huge red zone threat. And am I wrong? They haven't been, let's start with that. Am I wrong? They haven't been targeting the tight ends much in the red zone.
Right. So Jonnu Smith, you know, you'll remember, was questionable last week. He suffered a hip injury either Wednesday or Thursday in practice. And so when you saw them play with just one tight end on the field, it was Hunter Henry. You know, last week, you go back to the Dolphins game, Jonnu Smith was that tight end primarily taking snaps in one tight end packages. So as far as the red zone goes, you know, they're still a running team. They want to hand it off to Damien Harris. They want to see him break 1,200 tackles on his way to the end zone like we saw on Sunday and let that go to work. And you're also missing Trent Brown. So look, whether they were great in the red zone or they're bad as they actually are, it's a small sample and you need a couple more games to see where they're at. But I think either they need to let Mac Jones take deeper shots down the field more often, or he's got to do it himself. I mean, he admitted that he could have hit Nelson Aguilar for a touchdown instead of Jonnu Smith on that double pass we saw in the first quarter. So it's as much as what they'll allow him to do as what he's willing to do once he's out there.
All right, a follow-up question to that is, will Bill take the harness off anytime soon? It doesn't seem that way. It seems like this offense is predicated upon short passes in the running game.
Well, Andrew just said that though Mac Jones is sometimes checking down himself, that
like it almost seems like the play was drawn up for him to take that shot.
Like there is an opportunity to take a shot downfield, but Jones has been hesitant to do so.
Do you think? Well, how long do you think it'll be before he takes the harness off himself? Let's do it that way.
You know, it'll be a week by week thing, which, you know, I feel disappointed in myself saying it like that, right? Because I sound like the Patriots. I don't know. We'll just take it every week as it goes. But it's true, because you look at that Dolphins game in the second half, Mac Jones was really the only good thing going for that offense in the way he sustained it under pressure. He was 14 of 18 against the blitz. So that is third down. We have to throw. We got to make the rookies do it. And he completed, again, 14 of 18 passes against that pressure. So against the Jets, I think you could see them try to rely on more screens. He had 7 passes that didn't even cross the line of scrimmage. He had 22 that were fired within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and only 2 deep shots. So that's part game plan, as we saw last week. But the week before against Miami, he almost had 300 yards in his debut. So we just kind of have to see how things go, and it kind of depends also on the way that their opponent is playing. Is it a lot of pressure where they can trust him to get the ball out, or is it where the Jets are not going to blitz a whole lot and you can try to take your time or run some misdirection to get them displaced?
Well, Andrew, on the other side of things, we were talking a lot about this yesterday, was, you know, despite the win, you know, they let up a lot of ground yards there. I think it was 150-something yards they were able to allow on the rush.
Against a team that couldn't go anywhere in week one.
Yeah, what was your opinion of that? Was it a misleading stat because they, you know, ended up only being able to score 6 points, or is that a concern for you?
No, I think it's a concern, and not only just the total yard, right? Because in the second half, they don't care however many rushing yards the Jets get. They go, look, we want to kill the clock, so if you're going to do it for us, by all means, roll out the red carpet and get to the 40, and then we'll start to care. But the problem was they allowed over 5 yards per carry, 5.2 to be exact, between the tackles. And that points to Lawrence Guy and Devon Godchow. Now, Godchow, when they signed him, who was their second free agent that they landed back in March, he got a rich deal that exceeded all expectations and really made me, after the Nelson Aguilar contract, kind of scratch my head, because he was decent in Miami. But whenever he was there, Miami never had a good run defense, let alone a great one. And it just seemed like they're projecting here for him to be a better player than we've seen yet. And he hasn't been there yet. So Lawrence Guy had a good stop there on the goal line in the second quarter to keep the Jets from getting a touchdown. But beyond that, it was only so-so. And I think you'll see more teams start to attack them in the middle there. You know, again, if the Jets are going at 5.2 yards a pop, we can probably do better.
Well, then how do you think that both teams are going to approach each other when Jameis Winston has the ball? Because obviously we know the guy's got a lot of gunslinger in him, and we know that he can, you know, he's capable of having great games, just as capable he is as having a conversely opposite game where he's throwing 4 interceptions. How do you think that both sides are going to approach this with Jameis Winston at the ball?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. I think Alvin Kamara will get, you know, this goes back 20 years, but the treatment that you'll remember they gave Marshall Faulk in that first Rams Super Bowl, where he's getting chucked. Even if he's, like, you know, going out for some sort of route where he's not even a check down, he's just trying to, you know, create some sort of distraction. He goes in the outlet and he gets shoved, or he gets knocked, or he gets pushed, or he even gets double teamed on third down. I think that will be the focal point for the Patriots defensively, because the receiving core, you know, so long as Michael Thomas is out for New Orleans, really isn't that intimidating. So your problem is there at corner, where you don't have anyone really after J.C. Jackson and Jalen Mills, not that big of a deal. So you focus on the run, not only Kamara, you know, as a rusher, obviously, but also as a receiver. And then you just say, Winston might beat himself, so we just can't give him those deep shots, you know, on obvious passing downs.
Okay. So the you're focusing on stopping the run in this game. Okay.
Yeah, Kamara, too, because, I mean, you could call their kind of swing passes in their screens, right, and then Kamara, you know, running some option routes up the middle of the field, an extension of that run game. I think he's going to be the focal point of the offense more than any one player or, you know, run or pass.
All right, do you like the Patriots on Sunday?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's tough to see what we're going to get, right? Because the Saints, you know, just crush Green Bay, and then they get crushed by Carolina when they have 8 offensive assistants are out due to COVID. And, I, you know, they said no excuses. But there's no way that you make the same adjustments in game without those coaches as if you actually had them. So we'll see it. But I think this will be a tight game.
Dangerous because Jameis Winston can make all the throws, Fred.
Yeah, what is he? Oh, that's Wednesday. We got to wait till Wednesday.
That's right. That's tomorrow.
To find out what he says. All right. Well, I thought Jameis Winston was going to have himself a year, and then it only took 1 week for him to crash back down to earth. So do I know. All right, Andrew Gallahan, read him in the Herald. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go.
I do love how the New York Post yesterday had a headline that was Patriots players shockingly praised Zach Wilson.
Yeah, they were very happy with him.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. You got to pad my stats, and maybe some stupid GM will go, oh, hey, J.C. Jackson.
I was just going to say, J.C. Jackson's like, cha-ching.
Yeah, I got a million more interceptions, even though they just came right to me or were tipped or whatever else.
Well, I mean, that Devin McCourty one was just like...
Well, the Devin...
You and I
could have caught that ball.
Oh, well, I
would have taken a knee after I caught it. But, I mean, I could have caught it.
That's like, right. Like, who was he throwing it to?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I think there was a Jet receiver within 15 yards of it.
He got scared. It was his first game at home. He was trying to do
ghosts
too much.
Again, the Fred? Was that what it was?
Ah, you're better than that.
Some ghosts again?
No, he's not.
No, Rich is better than that.
I'm bad. Yeah.
Oh, God, Kyle Van Noy.
Maybe he'll play this week.
Yeah, well, boy, look out, New Orleans. Yeah, maybe he'll play.
It's a weird question. Can you play with, like, I don't know what happened to his throat. Does anybody know? Like,
No. No one knows.
Because that just seems like a strange injury that would keep you out of a game.
It does. I don't know. I can't speculate. I have no idea what would have happened unless
it affects your back and your head.
Or it's something is so fragile in there due to that if you played, it could permanently damage it or
like
something.
Like a crushed larynx or something that? Yeah, maybe that could be it. I have to be honest. I don't remember the last time I saw throat on the injury report.
I've never heard it. But then again, I'm not a gambler. I'm not going crazy on injury reports for every game. But no, I don't recall. Throat seems very odd. I don't recall that. It's certainly not something that you see a lot. You know, with the big players, Brady's out with throat.
Yeah,
you don't see that very often.
No,
but that Kyle Van Noy, boy, he thinks people like him. And I, in my head, I'm such an idiot. I sit and I try to figure out why, like what in his life makes him think. And I gotta think that when he runs on the field at Gillette and everyone cheers, that he's like, yeah, that's me. Like they're cheering for me. No, they're cheering for the uniform.
Pat Mason. I'm back.
Like he thought it's so sad. Like he thought like people were going to be like, yeah, like is it Twitter? Are people nice to you on Twitter? And you think that they like you a lot or something? You're an above average NFL player, but you're just another guy. I mean, you're nothing special. I mean, you have a nice, people keep going, his wife's a smoke show. Well, I mean, he married her. I mean, It all falls to even after that.
Everyone loves the boogeyman, Fred. It's boogeyman fever. It's boogeyman shirts everywhere. Well, everybody's got the boogeyman t-shirt.
I always have respect for Devin McCourty for not getting into that boogeyman shenanigans. And it seems like...
It was Hightower, I think, that called him out. Okay. It was like, they gave themselves a nickname. No, we don't do that here.
Yeah, and then... But he tried to do the seeing ghosts thing during the Jet game, because of Wilson, playing like crap. And he tried to do the ghost thing, which he desperately wants this boogeyman thing to come back. Which is nerd. He's just a nerd. He's like a big nerd, like a big athletic nerd. He's just a nerd, a clueless nerd. I'm back. Seeing ghosts again. I don't know. Why don't you play? If you're not playing, shut up. What's wrong with you over there on Twitter? He didn't like travel with the team. He's like on his couch watching the game like us. Yep. Like everyone else.
Yeah. Maybe that is a rule, is that if you're not actually playing in the game, that you can't like rip on the other team during the game.
Well, who else does that?
Well, that's common sense.
Maybe
Rich.
Maybe you can't do
that's
that.
Common sense. You know? Don't do
yeah,
that.
Like you're
Party
not doing
foul,
anything.
Right. Sports foul,
It's not like when you play the Jets at home, like Wilson's gonna come in and like destroy you. I mean, that's not gonna happen. Jets aren't gonna come into New England and win. There's no way. But I mean, what good is it? And that's the kind of thing that I bet you, if you're the Jets, like you're just like,
Well, one of the writers asked him. Asked Zach Wilson afterwards. Said, "What have you seen Ghost?"
Well, that I think is they had to because Darnold was such a moron with that. Mic'd up and
that wasn't fair. I still think that wasn't
he
fair.
Wasn't a rookie. Oh, by the way, and I will stop talking about the Jets. Samini, who writes about the Jets, and this is sad for ESPN, put where Zach Wilson's performance on Sunday ranks in the pantheon of recent bad Jet performances, and it's not even in the top five.
Yeah, Darnold's against the Patriots last year is in the top
five. Fitzpatrick threw six interceptions in a game. His last four passes were interceptions.
That's impressive.
Darnold,
that's hard to do, by the way. That's really hard to do.
Darnold, when he played the Patriots that game, had a worse game than Zach Wilson did?
Off the top of my head, I think, yes. I don't have the numbers.
Darnold had two worse ones. Fitzpatrick had a disaster of a game, and Sanchez had two disaster games against the Patriots. Wow. I mean, the butt fumble game.
Well, I remember. The butt fumble game is obviously just awful. It was Thanksgiving, right?
Because four picks is bad, but, I mean, six picks in your last four passes are picks?
Yeah, it's pretty
bad. It just shows the disaster that team is. What a garbage team. All right, we'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
They get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 7:55 this morning for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Comics Come Home 26. November 13th at the TD Garden. Join Dennis Leary, Cam Neely, John Stewart, Roy Wood Jr., Sam Jay, and more in support of the Cam Neely Foundation for Cancer Care. I know Robert Kelly's performing.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be there. I saw that on the list.
He's very funny. Yep. Tickets are on sale now to the general public. Get them before they're sold out through all Ticketmaster outlets and in person at the TD Garden box office if you're 1,000 years old and still operate in that fashion.
He killed at the last Comics Come Home. I think that it was, they didn't have it obviously last year. So 2 years ago, he was excellent. Or two Comics Come Homes ago, he was fantastic.
The last stand-up thing I saw was Creeps with Kids. And it was Voss, Florentine, Bennington, and Kelly. And Bennington and Kelly destroyed. Very, very good. Very, very funny.
So, and I like Dennis Leary a lot. You know, people don't like that he stole from Hicks and everything, but I do like Dennis. I think No Cure for Cancer, even though he might have ripped a lot of that stuff off, is still one of the great comedy albums, in my opinion, of all time.
Well, Mulaney was at the last one, too, and, man, have things really blown up with him. I mean, how many shows in a row did he end up doing here at the...
Set some record.
Yeah, he set some record for shows in Boston, and then he's got the whole pregnancy thing with Olivia Munn. Now he's having a kid.
Yeah, the timing is weird with him because he was on... Mulaney was on... John Mulaney, the comedian, who's very funny, who I've shared a stage with, I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and my good friends Mulaney and Kroll, we mm-hmm. got together, and it was triumphant at the Wilbur Theater one night.
Too Much Tuna Crew.
Yeah, they were... They said, please, 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 Fred, we're so familiar with your show. Please, come on. No, someone who knew I was a fan let me get on stage with them, and it was one of the great... Those two guys, oh, boy. Okay, it's all improv, and they're just... They kill it.
Just sharp as a tack, yeah. Just super fast.
And I was failing at the first thing I said was a failure when I was on stage with them, and then I went, oh, boy. And so I go, I'm just going to play this completely straight, and I ended up being on stage for, like, 25 minutes. So it was a great joy. But Mulaney was on... I guess he took a job with Seth Meyers. He was on the Seth Meyers show. And so he was just on Seth Meyers as a guest. And I guess the timeline was last October he went to rehab for a month. Then he came out and then was doing a lot of cocaine and stuff. And
after rehab?
Yeah, after rehab.
Okay.
And then there was an intervention staged for him. And he went to rehab for a couple months and then went to extended care. He went to one of those like places that you live in where you can leave and go work and stuff, but you report back and they test you every day, which is what they tell everyone almost in rehab to do, is to do one of those. They didn't tell me, though.
They just wanted you out.
They said, get out of here. Right? They said,
you're ruining it for everyone. They said, you're obnoxious. They don't like
they
you.
They said, you had that COVID thing happen to you. And the other one, they said, you can leave when I didn't even do the full thing. I was there for 3 weeks. Everyone was like, you get to leave? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, what the hell? I've been out of work for 6 weeks. They kicked me out of the first one. I can't. What do you want me to do about it? But they said, you seem like you got enough going on at home to keep you at least a little in check. So the timing of the, because he got out of rehab the first time and then left his wife.
Yep.
And then there was the intervention, and then he's been with Olivia Munn. So there's,
and now she's pregnant.
Yeah, but she's been pregnant for like a while. The timeline. Apparently, according to the people on the internet, the timeline of everything doesn't line up exactly like when he would have gotten her pregnant or when they would have started their relationship and all these things. So, but she's pregnant.
Would it be like a rehab conjugal visit type thing? Is that what you're saying? Like she would have...
Oh, I don't know. During COVID, I doubt that you could have visitors. So, no, it just like, was he with her when he was married? Or
Sure.
Because people hold Mulaney up to this like incredible standard because he's like he's supposed to be like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's up on, there's this incredible standard with him. So you saw the internet when he announced he was leaving his wife. Like people were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like in saying things that I just want to like shoot myself in the face. Like, I'm not crying. You're crying. Shut up. Shut up. Don't say those things. Just because one person wrote it, you don't have to write that. You don't have to write that. Or get in feels. Ew. Stop. Stop that. Just because one person did it doesn't mean you have to do that. But yeah, they were like people who don't know the guy. Like they crushed that he this nice guy, you know, would possibly get a divorce. They were very upset about that. And now they're desperately trying to put the pieces together to figure out when Olivia Munn got pregnant because he has to live up to this incredible standard.
When the answers are right there.
Being an infallible human being. So there you go. But I guess it was cocaine and Xanax, which I would assume go hand in hand. I would assume that if you're doing a lot of cocaine, that Xanax would have to come into the picture eventually.
Well, I mean, hopefully he's, you know, He's doing all right. I know that he also did another run of shows, I think, in New York City after the one here.
He did Philly.
Was it Philly? Yeah, where he's basically setting records everywhere he goes.
Yeah. People love John Mulaney, as they should. He's a very, very funny guy. Very, very nice guy.
He's no Dane Cook, but, you know, who is?
He's just not as demonstrative. He doesn't have the stage presence. I do think it's funny, though, that, like, Mulaney was on Saturday Night Live for so long, and they never thought of putting him on the air. They never thought of making him a guy.
Think of the great talent that was there. I mean, Tim Robinson was hardly on, as a cast member.
Well, they fired him as a cast member and made him just a writer.
I didn't even know he was one until you told me about a skit. I looked it up like, oh, yeah, I guess he was on there for a moment.
Yeah, he didn't do anything funny.
He wasn't in the credits at the beginning. I know that
much. He was a feature. Like, he was one of the guys after.
God, I don't even remember that.
It was a fairly dead time for Saturday Night Live. It was not the peak of Saturday Night Live.
I watch more Saturday Night Live than most. Like, even like during the dead years, I usually end up watching it. And I swear to God, I don't remember him at all. And you had to point out that clip, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I guess he was on it. I don't remember.
Well, there's a black lady on the cast now that I have no idea, like, if she's ever been on the show. I just
Punky
know.
Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what the hell has she ever done?
She's rarely on it. There's like a young guy too, Chris Demukes, I think his
name
is.
But he's in stuff.
Yeah, but because
he's goofy looking, so I always go, oh, that goofy looking kid.
Chris Demukes? He's like a good looking kid.
Well, like we obviously have different tastes, my friend. Car number 8 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Comics Come Home 26 November 13th at the TD Garden. And I just told you all the comedians. It's supported the Cam Neely Foundation for Cancer Care. Tickets are on sale now to the general public. Get them before they're sold out through all Ticketmaster outlets and in person at the TD Garden. We are going to do a Know Your Armpits of America that I've been told is very funny. I look forward to it in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.